God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to lead us as we live this life among many kinds of dangers, among many kinds of difficulties, tribulations. And Peter writes this text this morning. And it's amazing that this comes from a man who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Lord Jesus told him he was going to deny him. And then afterwards, and they were by the lake, and he restored and forgave Peter. So Peter knows about the trials and tribulations of life. And he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. So I want you to think about the scene. The scene that took place 40 days after the resurrection, which was celebrated or observed this last Thursday, the ascension. And Jesus is standing there with his disciples, and he gives them one last word about them being their witnesses, his witnesses, no matter where they are. And then all of a sudden, he's taken up into the air. And they watch him go. And after he has disappeared in the clouds, and their eyes came back down to earth, and they say to each other as they're looking at each other, "Now what? What are we going to do? You know, we thought he was going to be here with us. We thought that he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel to the people." They quickly forgot about what the crucifixion and resurrection all meant. They quickly came back to the thought of what all the Jewish leaders thought, that there was going to be Messiah that was going to rid the land of the Roman rule. So they look at each other and say, "Now what? What are we going to do? Our leader is gone. Our master, our teacher, the one that we respected, he's gone. How are we going to help one another? How are we going to encourage each other?" Sometimes it feels like that in our own lives. In our own lives, we feel confused. "Now what, Lord? You're up there, you resurrected and ascended, and we're down here, now what? We're facing a terrible world, a horrible world. People are killing each other. Little kids are dying. People are carjacked. People face the death and dying each and every day. Now what, Lord? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How are we going to live?" The Lord comes to us in his word. As the world is spinning out of control, we see the stock market rising and falling. We see the gas prices going up and up and up. We see food prices going up. We hear of mass killings. We hear of guns being used, and we hear of violence happening. It's been happening ever since Jesus died and rose again. And it continues and continues and continues. But he also gives us, in this world of trouble and trial and tribulation and sickness and death and dying and suicides, things that are going on in our personal lives that we have no hold over and are wondering, now what, Lord? And the Lord comes to us in His Word and He tells us that He is giving us strength. He is giving us His presence. He is telling us that He is going to walk with us no matter what happens. As He says through the prophet Isaiah, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned nor scorched, for I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." He says those words to us, He writes those words to us to lift us up. Because we know tragedy strikes. Whether tragedy strikes in Byron, or tragedy strikes in Minneapolis, or tragedy strikes in Des Moines, Iowa, tragedy strikes in San Francisco, tragedy strikes in New York City, tragedy strikes over the whole world. And even in that tragedy, God comes. He comes in His Word. He comes in His sacrament. He's coming to encourage. He's coming to build us up. He's coming to comfort us. And in that comfort, He gives us the ability. He gives us the strength. He gives us the words to speak to other people. Working at a funeral home, you get to see various emotions happening. And you get to see how people react to death and dying. And sometimes you can predict. You can look at that person and say, that's how they're going to grieve or they're going to react. But then they take you by surprise. When the normal course of life continues and death happens at an old age, people are there to rejoice, give comfort. When a younger person dies, there's a mass of people, of young people, coming to that funeral, coming to that visitation to help and encourage those who are left behind. God comes to us with His Word and His sacrament to lift us up, to encourage us, and to give us words to speak. And the other thing that I've noticed is that people don't know what to say. They'll grab the hand and shake it, or the shoulder and shake it, and nod, and nothing comes out. That's fine. And we're all in that situation. The disciples didn't know what to do at that time. The angels told them as they were standing there, the angel says, "Why are you looking up? He told you He will be with you." They had to replace another disciple, so they went back to replace Judas. And as they did, they started to encourage one another. They started to build up one another. They started to comfort each other and say, now is the time to do the work, the service that our Master has taught us to do. Now is the time to work as His servants here in the world. We may be confused about our being here at Mount Moriah. We might be concerned and confused about how little we have, number-wise, we have here. But we forget who's in control. We all want to be in control of something, but we know who has control of the future. And it's not us. It's our blessed God. And thank God he is in control. And as he comes into our lives through word and sacrament, he tells us that he's going to walk with us. He tells us that no matter what we are entangled with, he's going to be there. Toward the, and I, as I reread this text a number of times, first time I read it, I was confused about how, where Peter was going and where our Blessed Fathers had connected this in the liturgy. But it was interesting that toward the end of our of the text for today, Peter writes, he says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will make himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Great words from a great disciple, Jesus. Stand firm. The devil is there. He wants to eat you up. He doesn't have to worry about the unbelievers. He doesn't have to worry about the church that is growing so much, the church of none, among young people, middle-aged people, and older people. The devil doesn't have to worry about it. He's got them all in his back pocket. He's after you. He's after you who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's after you to chew you up and spit you up. But God comes to you and says, stand firm. And as you stand firm, Jesus will strengthen you. And as you are strengthened, you will strengthen your brothers. You know, take this back. Before Peter denied Jesus, he said to Jesus, "I will go with you. I'll stand with you." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have your thoughts on my work, but on human work." And then he said to Peter, "The devil has asked to sift you like sand. But you will stand firm. And after a little while, you will encourage your brothers and sisters." And so he's telling us the same thing, that we will encourage each other and comfort one another and build up one another in Christ, because God has given us that strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in the Philippians that he wrote, and he wrote that from prison, remember? He wrote Philippians from prison. He says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." We can do all things through him who gives us strength, because our God resides in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And through that gracious God, he gives us comfort. He gives us joy. He gives us the strength to reach out and help one another as we pray for each other, as we comfort each other, as we build each other up in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.